You can begin turning in your Bibles tonight to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, let me share with you, I heard of a lady who took a course in first aid. And they were having testimonials about first aid down at her church, and she stood up and she said, "I want to share my testimony." She said, "The other day a man ran his car into the big oak tree right out in front of my house. He fell out of that car. His skull was fractured. He had some compound fractures. His life's blood was pouring out upon the pavement in the front of my house." But she said, and she stood up big and tall, "I remembered my first aid training. And I knew if I bent down and put my head between my knees, I would not faint." Well, friends, that's the kind of Christianity a lot of people want today. They just want to put their head between their knees and say, oh, God, I'm so glad I'm a Christian so that I can live in this horrible world. Now, it is a horrible world. But our Lord has put us here as His ambassadors, as His representatives, to shine the gospel light and to allow God's Holy Spirit to use us. And what's needed for us is to work as if everything depends on us and to pray as if everything depends on God. Now, the last time we were together, we were speaking about the Spirit-filled life, and we shared the first two reasons. First, our obedience to what God has said, and then second, we said our obligations as it pertains to our worship life, our wedded life, our work life, our war life, and our witness life. Well, there's a third reason tonight that we need to be Spirit-filled, and it is because of our opportunities. Now, if you've got your Bible open, Ephesians chapter 5, be finding verse 14, and then if you are able, would you please rise as we honor God with a reading of His Word? And Paul is writing here. He's writing to the church at Ephesus and to us today. And he says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And Father God, we come to your word tonight that you might fill us, Lord, to the brim with the power of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, we've got to come to the point in our lives where we can confess that without you, we can do nothing. Jesus said that without him, you can do nothing. That's a zero with the edges rounded off. A big, fat nothing. And God, we need you tonight. We need the power of God in this church. We need you to speak to our hearts. We need our hearts to get set on you. We need to be on fire for Jesus Christ in the days in which we're living. Lord, the days are growing darker, but we ought to be growing brighter. Lord, help us to be filled with your Spirit that we might shine in this dark world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now I want you to look at verse 15. He says, "See that you walk circumspectly." Now, circum means around, and spectly means watching, looking. And he says, not as fools, but as wise. How many wise people are there here tonight? Well, if you are not Spirit-filled, you are not wise. And verse 16 is the key to all of this. Is there anybody here who would deny that the days in which we're living are evil? Now, if that was true in Paul's day, if that was true when Paul wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus, how much more true is that in our day and in our time, we're up against the organized, mobilized, demonized forces of hell. Hell comes at us in every way. Sometimes it's a frontal attack. Sometimes it's very subtle, but you need to wake up. There is a war going on. And if you don't know there's a war raging, you are deaf, you are dumb, and you are blind to spiritual things. Now there is war going on. He says, awake. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. There's a war going on. But I believe there's a greater opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ now than ever before. I believe there's more hunger right now for the gospel. People are searching for the truth than ever before. I believe there's more openness to the gospel right now than any time in the history of the world. Listen, God is in control, amen? And Jesus Christ is coming soon. And we have that promise. God is in control. Not Washington, not the world. God is in control, and we do know this. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Hallelujah. And so, but if you know your Bible in these evil days, if you know anything about the Bible at all, you'll know that God never sends his judgment before he sends his light. And friends, as the night grows darker in this world, as the night grows darker, you and I, as the saints of Jesus Christ, ought to be shining ever brighter, and the hunger is more intense than ever before. There are people who are wondering, who are looking, who are searching, and they're seeking a way, and they say, is there an answer? And there is an answer. Hallelujah. And the answer is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need a generation of spirit-filled Christians, because the opportunities that God has placed out there before us are greater than ever before. I heard a testimony this morning. I was so thankful for the testimony I heard this morning. I heard of a man who said he picked up a telephone, and another man on the end of the line said, "Do you got time? Can I talk to you?" And he talked to him for an hour. And friend, you never know when God is going to use you. But I'm so thankful for that testimony this morning. There is a man who was a Christian and a man who was searching. And the man who was a Christian did the listening to the man who was searching. And he encouraged them. And hallelujah, praise God. God is a great God. And how shameful it would be if we let the opportunities that God has given us slip through our hands like sand falling to the ground. Oh, Dr. Charlie Howard, many years ago down in Jacksonville, Florida, he's home in glory now, said, "I'd rather be Peter, James, and John asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane than to be a Christian asleep in these pregnant times in which we live." Friends, the Bible says here, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. We need to wake up. We need to shape up. And we need to seize the opportunities that God is putting before us in these evil, dark days. Listen, we all know the Great Commission is to go out and make disciples. Well, let me ask you a question. If God has told us to go out, and God has equipped us to go out, and God's desire is to send us out, has Christianity failed? No, I tell you, Christianity hasn't failed. It's just never been tried. You know what you need to do when all else fails? You need to go back to the book, and you need to read the directions. What is the key to Christianity? Well, it sure isn't putting our head between our knees so we don't faint. The key to Christianity is a spirit-filled life so that we might reproduce ourselves. Just as there are requirements to becoming a Christian, there are requirements for being spirit-filled. How? How are we to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I want you to understand, this is a command, and in everything that God requires of us, God always teaches us what to do. Now, he says, Ephesians 5:18, what does the Bible say? Be filled with the what, church? Don't think of the Holy Spirit as a substance. The Holy Spirit is a person. Don't refer to the Holy Spirit as it, as so many do. Refer to the Holy Spirit as Him. Jesus said, when He is come, He will teach you all things. John 14:26. Don't do what so many people do today and depersonalize the Holy Spirit. Don't think of being filled with the Spirit as if you are some kind of wee vessel and the Holy Spirit is some kind of a liquid. And for heaven's sakes, don't think of you being a battery and the Holy Spirit being an electrical charge. The Spirit is a person. The Spirit is a person, and you are a temple. Let me give you a key verse from 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body. The moment you give your life to Christ, the moment you give your life to Christ, your body becomes the temple of the living God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes in and He takes up residence in our heart. And so if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, number one, it means a complete commitment to Him. That is, you have opened the door of the temple. You have welcomed Him in, and you've given Him the key to every room in your house. Now let's just suppose for a moment tonight that you have a guest come into your home to stay, and you say to your guest, my house is your house. Make yourself at home. Here's the key to the front door. Here's the key to the second car. There's the refrigerator. There's your room. You've got the run of the house. Make yourself at home. Now, let's suppose you go off somewhere and then you come home to your house some evening and there your guest is, not in his room, but he's in your room. He's got the key to your roll top desk. He's opened it. He's rolled it back. And he's going through your income tax returns. And he's reading your old love letters you wrote to your girl. How many of you would say, excuse me, may I help you? And they say, no, but man, I got to tell you, them love letters you wrote, what a hoot. And you know, they say, I really thought you made more money in what you do. And you can just feel the hairs coming up on the back of your neck. And you say, excuse me, that's none of your business. What are you doing? Those are my personal papers. Those are my things. And he'd say, well, I don't understand you. I thought you said this house was my house. I thought you told me to make myself at home. That's just what I'm doing. And you'd say, I didn't mean this. I didn't mean that at all. Well, friend, I wonder sometimes if we're not doing the same thing to the Holy Spirit of God. I wonder if there are not some people here tonight who have said, Holy Spirit, my body is your temple. Come in and bless me and fill me and take control. But the key question is, have you given Him the key to every closet? Is there any area of your life that's off bounds to the Holy Spirit? Have you given Him the key to your business life? Have you given Him the key to your married life? Have you given Him the key to your social life? Have you given Him the key to your financial life? Have you given to Jesus Christ every key, or are you holding something back? I'm telling you, if you're going to be Spirit-filled, there must be a complete commitment to Jesus Christ. No doors closed, holding nothing back. Your heart is His. solely and completely. There must be a complete commitment to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit just simply means you saying in submission, Lord, I am submitted to you. Lord, I want your will done, not mine. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. How many of you have ever began, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But there you are, holding on to your will. And you really don't want his will done. You're mouthing the words, you're going through the motions, but you're hanging on with clenched fists to something you don't want to give up. And friends, that's not being submitted. Submitted means we let go. And we give it all to God. Many times we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the wrong motives. Proud self can't wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit because he wants to puff himself up and be a superior Christian. He wants to look down on his nose at everybody else. He wants to be critical of everybody else. He wants to tell everybody else how they ought to be behaving in the Christian life. And lazy self thinks, well, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then I can expect the pastor to do it all and to go to God for me, but I don't need to serve God. The pastor can serve for us all, but I don't need to serve, or I don't need to be an encouragement to him or anybody else. Ambitious self says, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll be a great Bible teacher. I can be a great singer, a great preacher, a great evangelist, because it's all about me. You know, God isn't interested in any of that. God hates a proud self. God hates a lazy self, and God can't stand an ambitious self. God wants somebody who's submitted to him. He is the potter, and we are the... Friends, the Holy Spirit has one ministry, and that is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in my life and yours. And that's all it is. When the burning ambition of your heart and your life is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have given to him the key to every room, then and only then can you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the command is to be ye filled. Now, not only must there be a complete commitment, there also must be a continual control. Our text literally says, be ye being filled. Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? I didn't ask, have you been filled? I didn't ask, are you being filled? Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Have you ever thought about this? Look at this verse again. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why didn't he say, don't steal, but be filled with the Spirit? Or why didn't he say, don't commit adultery, but be filled with the Spirit? Why did he take the particular sin of drunkenness and use that as a contrast? God sometimes does things by contrast, and I hope that you would know that. Being filled with the Spirit and being drunk with wine are anti-ethical to one another. On the day of Pentecost, if you'll remember, the apostles were accused of being drunk with wine as Peter preached. And Peter said, we're not drunk as ye suppose. No, they were drunk on the Holy Spirit of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So God is using the Holy Spirit's fullness in comparison to drunkenness, not only in contrast, but also in comparison, because being filled with the Holy Spirit is a lot like being drunk. Have you ever seen a drunk man under the control of another substance? Everything about that drunk has changed. The way he talks, the way he walks, and the way he thinks. Sometimes he's given to incredible generosity. He says, I'll buy the house a drink. And sometimes he may be very vivacious, and he walks in, he says, let me tell you something, I can whoop any man in this house. And then sometimes his tongue is very loose, and he will say and just do all kinds of things because he's dominated by the influence of intoxication. Now, when a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, he is controlled by the Holy Spirit. His walk, his talk, his generosity, his courage, it's all changed by the Holy Spirit of God. But now here's the question. How does a man get drunk? Now, I know you know the answer to this. He drinks. To get drunk, you got to drink, amen? And the question is, how does he stay drunk? Well, he's got to keep on drinking. And he has to keep drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. That's the reason he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled. Now, do you get it? Don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled. And that's a problem with many folks who have been spirit-filled. You see, they've sobered up. They're no longer going to God. They're no longer Bible reading. They're no longer asking God in prayer, oh, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's not a part of their life. And so they've sobered up in the Christian life, if you will. We need to be continually dependent upon the Holy Spirit. There must be a complete commitment. There must be a continual control. And the only way you can be continually controlled by the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit of God and to keep going back to the source. And what is the source? It's right here. What did Jesus say? Man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of who? God. You've got to go to the source in order to be filled. There must be a complete commitment. There must be a continual control. Where you are saying, moment by moment, Lord, I am yours. Lord, I'm yours. You know, we used to sing a song, and I know many of you know it. That song was, I need thee every hour. Now, I don't know about you. I don't need him every hour. I need him every second of every hour. I need him. Lord, I'm yours. We've heard this verse of scripture before, pray without ceasing. How many of you have accomplished that? How many of you have a running conversation with God all throughout the day? We've heard the words, trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not upon our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Do you acknowledge him moment by moment? Is there ever a moment when you're disconnected from him? You see, there must be a continual control. And then there must be a conscious claiming. You must claim this fullness just like you receive the Lord Jesus. How do you do it? By faith. Colossians 2:6. As ye receive the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. How did you receive Jesus? By faith. How do you walk by faith? You must simply pray, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I open myself up to you. And I thank you right now, Lord God, that you are filling me. And I claim by faith, I'm not looking for a feeling, Lord. I am claiming the filling that is mine because I'm continually in your word. Lord, I'm connected to the source. Lord, don't ever let me be disconnected from the source. Now you do that, and you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I want you to know that being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the results of that are threefold. And they show up in all the relationships of our life. It's very easy to tell whether or not you are being filled with the Holy Spirit of God because, friend, you'll see it in your relationship, number one, to God, number two, to circumstances, and number three, to other people. In your relationship to God, there's going to be a spirit of adoration. Look with me, if you will, at verse 19. Verse 18 says, be filled, and verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know how you can tell whether you're spirit-filled or not? Are you doing that? Are you talking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Are you making melody in your heart to the Lord? Are you constantly wanting to say, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Lord God, thank you for saving me. Lord, I know where I'd be without you, and I'm so glad I'm not there. Lord, I love you. Thank you for saving my sorry soul. Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you that your grace is greater than all my sin. Oh, Lord, I just love you and I thank you tonight. Friends, I'm telling you, there's a burning, passionate, blazing, emotional love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot help but praise him. You know, if I was to ask Brother Marty, I bet you he could tell me there are some people that come into this church that just sit in a worship service like a bump on a log. They never sing. They never praise. They never say amen. They never smile. They never laugh. They never weep. And I'll bet you if we were to ask Marty, he'd be honest enough, because I know Marty, he's a man of integrity. I'll bet Marty would think, what's wrong with these people? Because I do that. I think, what's wrong with these people? Have you ever done that? And I'll tell you what's wrong with people. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Plain and simple. Because there is no adoration for God in their relationship. There's no thanking God in their relationship. There's no praising God in their relationship. There's none of that going on. And then second, in your relationship to circumstances, there's a spirit of appreciation. Look with me here at verse 20. What does Paul say? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have opportunity to hear Marty pray more often than probably the rest of you. But Marty prays just like he prayed tonight. Thank God for all the blessings. He's always thanking God for the blessings. And he says, like he said tonight, Lord, I don't know why sometimes you keep on giving, but Lord, I'm so thankful you keep on giving. There's a spirit of adoration. Giving thanks always for what, does it say? Some things? A few things? All things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a spirit-filled person is a humble person. And a flesh-filled person is grumbly and hateful, aren't they? They just grumble, grumble, grumble all the day long. And that's just the difference. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you just simply want to thank God for what he is doing, what he has done, and what he's going to do. That's one of the reasons you're praising him. You're thanking him. You're thanking God for what he's done in your heart. You're thanking God for what he's doing in this moment. You're thanking God for what he's going to do in the future. He says, for all things, not just some things. And it doesn't say sometimes. It says all the time. And then the third mark is this. In your relationship to other people, there's a spirit of accommodation. Look with me at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of who? God. Have you learned something about the spirit of submission? Let me tell you something very quickly. You have about all of God that he can trust you with. Let that sink in. You have about all of God that he can trust you with. You see, when you teach a child to drive, what's the first thing you show that child? The very first thing you show that child is not the accelerator, but the brakes. And if the child isn't interested in the brakes, you aren't about to let him drive. You aren't about to show him anything else. You just simply say to that child, I'll take the keys back in right now. Isn't that right? If that child isn't interested in anything to make that car stop, you sure don't want to teach them how to make it go. Now let's go back to that key again. The key is the fullness of the Spirit. But the fullness of the Spirit is only given to those who are under the control of the Spirit and submitted to the purpose of the Spirit. Submission. If you're not interested in the brakes, if you're not interested in submitting to God because of a holy fear of Almighty God, God's not going to show you the accelerator of the Christian life. He's not going to fill you with his Holy Spirit. But oh, precious friend, if you learn how to walk with God in faith, if you'll do it, if you'll do it, he will be filling you moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month. And you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to find yourself speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're going to find yourself giving thanks to God in all things. You're going to find yourself praising God no matter what you're going through. And you're going to have a spirit of submission in your life. You're going to look at your brothers and sisters in Christ and you're going to say, how can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? How can I accommodate you? What do you need? How can I serve you? How can I love you better? Wouldn't that just be kind of like heaven if that was taking place here on earth? Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's stirring or looking around tonight. Let me ask you the personal question. Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Friend, is he? Is he? There must be complete commitment to him. Every key in your life, to every closet in your life, must be given to him. There must be a continual control. You must keep on receiving, keep on allowing the Holy Spirit of God to fill you. And there must be a conscious claiming where you say, Lord, by faith, I claim the promise that is mine. I claim it right now. Just as I trusted you to save me, I trust you right now to fill me. And Father God, I pray now that you'll help us in these desperate days to be a Spirit-filled church. For the glory of Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.